Good morning, everyone. It's really nice to see you. Thank you for coming. I was panicking a bit at 10:30 when I was sitting there thinking, oh man, guest speaker, pastor's away, bloke you don't know, no one's going to come. And thank you for coming. It's really good to see you. I'm John, and I'm from the Rhondda. You can tell that I've got a really good Rhondda accent. I've got the tattoos, piercings, I've got the cool beard, and I look like I'm from the Rhondda. Anyway, I live in the Rhondda, and I'm planting a church called Dream Centre Wales in the Rhondda. Became a Christian when I was 21, had a really bit of a story, which I won't bore you with now, but got into lots of trouble and got into drugs and drinking and arrested, and lots of stuff happened. And at 21, I was locked in a police cell in Luton. And I just looked to the ceiling and said, God, if you're there, I want to know you. It's a dangerous prayer to pray, because 6 months later, I found myself in a church, kneeling at the front, giving my life to Christ. And from that day, I really did feel that I'd given my life to Christ, that my life was no longer mine, but my life belonged to him. For 21 years, I'd lived my life for myself. Obviously, when you're a baby, you don't know that. But as you get older, into your teens, you realize you're living for yourself. You think about yourself, and you focus solely on what you want to do. At 21, I gave my life to Christ. And I would encourage any of you that have given your life to Christ to really give your life to Christ. That's not the sermon, by the way. It's just me getting used to holding this mic and you getting used to looking at me. So I traveled a little bit of a journey. I got married when I was 25 or 24. My wife will kill me. I can't quite remember. We've been married for 26 years. She's not here. She's back at our church, and got four children. One of my sons is married, and I'm about to become a grandfather. Hooray! Lots of pictures on Facebook that will really annoy everyone of the grandchild. Anyway, I was about 24, 23, 24, I felt that God was calling me into the ministry. Now, you look at me now, you think, what a great guy. Great preacher, great communicator, full and anointed with the Holy Spirit. Anyway, I don't know what you're thinking, but in those days, I had no idea about public speaking. I was from Birmingham. I dropped out of school when I was 16. I had no idea about it. I felt that God was calling me to be a pastor. So I just explored it. Ended up in Baptist College just around here. And 1996, went to Baptist College to train to be a Baptist minister. But always had a heart for the most broken people in our society. Went to Baptist College for 4 years. Went and did a placement in Ararat Baptist for 1 year. And I said to the people in the college, look, that was all right, Ararat. Apologies if any of you know Ararat. It was all right. But I want to go to your craziest, your wildest, most charismatic church you can find me in the Cardiff area. Ah, you need to go to Woody. So in 1997, I came here and spent the year with Andy Hughes, who was the pastor then, and had a great year with him, helped at youth club and got involved in different things, and just loved my time with you. Some of you were here, some of you weren't. Probably most of you weren't here then, but some of you were. And I just really appreciate what I learned in that year while I was here. And then in 2000, I finished college and I went to be pastor of Caldicot Baptist Church in Caldicots, which is near Newport, Monmouthshire. And it's a very nice place. There's a castle and it's very nice. And we saw the church from a little church that when we first started, they weren't sure whether it should close or whether it was going to stay open. And we saw some changes and new people come in and it grew. And it grew and it grew. And we got to about 120 and things were good. And we'd extended our building. We spent 85,000 on the building. This is 2016. People were getting saved and baptized. This is what I woke up for in the morning. This is the ministry. This is what it's like to be a pastor. It was exciting. And then God started to challenge me about being comfortable. Challenge me on a word from Haggai about you living in your paneled houses while the house of the Lord lies in ruins. And I was challenged and challenged and challenged about my heart for the broken, my heart for the lost, my heart for places where the churches were really, really broken. And in 2016, God laid on my heart the Rhondda Valleys. Now, I'm not from the Rhondda. Don't look like I'm from the Rhondda. Don't talk like I'm from the Rhondda. I've got no family that used to live in the Rhondda. I've got no one that was a coal miner that is in my family. I don't even support Wales in rugby. My wife is Welsh. My children are Welsh. And to be honest, yesterday we were quite excited in our house. Because Wales, I love the underdog, and Wales were meant to lose yesterday, weren't they? But I think that they won. Fantastic. But God laid on my heart, concentrate, forget about rugby. Cast out that heckler. God laid on my heart the Rhondda. And you know when God puts a burden on your heart, you can't escape it. Your prayer life goes up, doesn't it? When you've got a burden for something, your prayer life goes up. You study the word of God. You try to sin less. Anyone been in this experience? You're trying to sin less. You're trying to focus on Jesus. Every time you turn on your radio and your music, it's Christian worship music. It's Hillsong. It's Matt Redman. And you sort of got your arms in the air as quick as you can in church because you want to hear from God. Any of you in this that place where you want to hear from God? You want to know what God wants you to do? And I had this burden for the Rhondda Valley, but I was in a great church. I was on a full pastor's stipend. And if any of you know what that is, it's not going to make you a millionaire, but you can live off it. The church were paying my mortgage. They were paying my mobile phone. They were paying my car. They just loved us and they loved on us. And we've been there for 16 years serving faithfully as their pastor. And God has given me this crazy call to go to the Rhondda. I'm starting to explore it and meet different people. And everyone I meet says, don't go to the Rhondda. It's the graveyard of pastors. It's a graveyard of ministries. You're doing well, John. Even my superiors are saying to me, John, just sit tight. Stay in Caldecott. Don't move. Church life and the church world is so tricky today that you make your move, someone steps into your shoes, and you're gone forever. Dramatic. Well, to me, I didn't care because God had laid the Rhondda Valleys on my heart. I said to my wife, love, I think God's calling me to the Rhondda. Now, my wife is Welsh and she's from the valleys. And she says, man, this isn't good. It's not good, John. It's not a good plan. Right, we'd better pray more. And I knew that God had called us. And a month later, she came back and she said, I've been resisting the Lord. We've got to go. But everyone that lives in the valleys, that leaves the valleys, say don't go back to the valleys. And my wife was going back into a place that she'd seen brokenness, she'd seen pain, and she'd seen breakup. So we put our house on the market, sold within 4 days. Do you know how God's got a massive sense of humor? Our house sold in 4 days. And about a month after that, they decided to close the Severn Bridge. Have you heard about this in Cardiff? Have you heard of the Severn Bridge? Yeah, you've heard of the Severn Bridge. Well, a month after we sold our house, the government said, we're not going to close. We're going to make it free to go over the Severn Bridge. At the moment, it's £6.60. All of a sudden, the house prices in Caldecott increased by 20%. And my house that I used to live in has increased in value by 20% after I sold it. How does that work? And you're saying, God, I need your provision, I need your help. And God's going, yeah, but I got a bit of a trick up my sleeve. This is going to be funny. Watch this, angels. You see this stupid guy down there that I've called and I've anointed and I've called him to go to the run. Watch what I'm going to do. He's going to sell his house. He's going to sell it in 4 days. And then I'm going to put all the prices up by 20%. And you know what? He's going to have to trust me more than he did before. And my prayer life went up another level. My arms were up even before the word. And wasn't that great worship today? No, okay. I love it. I love it. I love to worship God, but I wanted to put my hands up even before he started playing. Anyway, it's another story. It's another sermon. You see, we left and there were lots of tears. We cried. They bought me some new football boots as a going away present, so to play football, obviously. My wife had a love spoon and we all cried and we left and we went to live in the Rhondda. And we arrived there. We connected up with a group called Sporting Marvels, who I think are absolutely awesome, and they do great work in the Rhondda. They do great work with schools, but they struggle to connect with churches, and there's been all these problems and arguments. And we connected up with this group, and we believed that God wanted us. So the friends that I'd made in the Rhondda, I quickly lost when I met up with Sporting Marvels, because there were some churches that didn't like them that I'd become friends with. So then it became even more difficult. And some of you are scratching your head. What is he talking about? But you'll understand this in a minute. And it became even more difficult. And you know, sometimes when you go somewhere, you just want it to be easy. When you're in college or uni or you're married or you're elderly, or you just want it to be easy. Well, I read my Bible and it's not easy following Jesus. It's tough. It's hard work. And you have to seek the face of God. You have to lie prostrate before him and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What have you called me to do? Because I'm going to be faithful to you, but I want to know what it is that you want me to do. And we encountered poverty in the Rhondda. The politicians up in the Rhondda tell me that there's 70% unemployment. On Penrhyn Estate, which I've got a real heart for, there's 98% of the adult working population is unemployed in Penrhyn. 1,000 people live in Penrhyn. And the average over the Rhondda, 85,000 people live there. 70% of those that are able to work don't have employment. It's not my statistics. I haven't made this up. In the 2001 government census, 0.9% of the Rhondda Valley is Christian. It's horrendous. It's catastrophic in spiritual terms what's happening up there. And I thought I was all right as a pastor. Do a bit of preaching, do some home groups, do some youth work. Do a toddler's group and you get people in, people will get saved and their lives will be transformed. But I realized when we got to the Rhondda that this is a difference to what I'd encountered in Caldicot. May even be different to Cardiff. And it's only half an hour up the A470. I live in Treorchy, which is up the top. Have you heard of Treorchy? Yeah, great. We're doing okay. I'm not one of these preachers that say, well, say Treorchy. I'm not going to do that to you, don't worry. But Treorchy's right up the top of the Rhondda, and it took me 35 minutes to get down here. But it's like we're talking about another world, a completely different world. And I sought the Lord, and I said, Lord, what do you want us to do in the Rhondda? And God said to me, we haven't got to do the PowerPoint yet, if that's okay. Is it work? I'll give you it. That'll be quick. Don't worry about that. God said to me, that which was in your past, I'm going to bring into your present. Now, just think of your church for a minute. That which was in the past. I didn't phone up Chris and say, hey, Chris, I'm struggling, mate. What's happening? That which is in your past, I'm going to bring into your present. I was in this church in 1997. That's my past. Some of you weren't born in 1997. That's my past, but I'm going to bring it into your present. Around about 20 years ago, I heard a guy preach called Matthew Barnett. And Matthew Barnett leads the Dream Center in Los Angeles. And I explored this many, many years ago, that we would bring the Dream Center ministry to Wales. Because I believe that Wales is in a crisis point in regards to the spiritual climate and temperature of this land. And I contacted the Dream Center. You know when you contact these big churches? You know when you're desperate? You go on, you know treasurers, when you're desperate, you type in world mega churches. Do you ever do that when you're financially struggling? And you just type in, I did it once when I was in Caldecott. I thought, this is a great idea. I'll type in world mega churches. And about 100 churches came up on the search engine. Anyway, it wasn't like that. I emailed the Dream Center. They got thousands of people in their church. They minister every month to 40,000 people on the streets of LA. This is a big deal. They've got $1 million that comes in every month and goes out every month. And I emailed them. The next day, they emailed me back. I'm like, what is happening? You know when you're looking at your emails and you're getting all the spam and all the emails you don't want from church and all the emails you get from religious groups that want you to click on a link and sponsor someone else? I got it straight away, and they said, the best way you can learn about the Dream Center is come. So in October 2017, I got on a plane. I'm not a traveler. I've only been outside of this country around about three times. I got on a plane and went to LA. And for that week of my life, I was deeply moved and deeply impacted by God. I couldn't sleep. I was meeting with the pastors. I was praying. I probably walked along the street with my arms up in the air. I was trying to connect with God so, so much. And they said to me in Los Angeles, why don't you be one of our network churches? We've got one other network church in the UK, in Newcastle. Why don't you in Wales become, because they couldn't understand the Rhondda. They said, why doesn't the city of Wales become one of our network churches? And I'm just like, right, I'm trying to explain it to them, and they don't get it, Americans, do they? Apology if you are Americans. But why doesn't the city of Wales become one of our network churches? And I said, well, you know, Wales isn't a city, it's a nation. And they go on Wikipedia, no, it's a city. No, it's a nation. You know, this is a nation. They even have their own language. They have their own way that they do things. They eat different food to everyone else. No, it's a city. All right, whatever. We'll agree to disagree. Anyway, so they said you can be a network church. You can use our logo. You can use our logo. So I was like, right, it's going to come now. They're going to hit us. The million's going to come our way this month. But they said, we can't help you financially. You've got to build that yourself. And you know, I love that, because we're not here, we're not engaged in any sort of partnership, so that we can just go, come on, come on, come on, come on. No, God provides for his people just what they need. Not what they want, just what they need. And he provides it when they need it. And I came back from, I left America having no idea what we were doing. And I came back with holding the vision for Dream Center Wales. Holding a vision, you can do the PowerPoint now if you want. Holding the vision for Dream Center Wales. And I went back to the Rhondda and spoke to some people at Sporting Marvels and different people. And I said, we're going to be Dream Center Wales. And so many people have said to me, you know, that's really arrogant. Why can't you be Dream Center Treorchy? Dream Center Gethley? Dream Center Tonopandy? Dream Center Porth? Why do you have to think you're going to take over Wales? Because I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for the nation. Or we'll call it the city, but they'll call it the city, we'll call it the nation. Dream Center Wales is just like any other church. It's no different to any other church. We don't have any fancy gimmicks. We don't have a cool pastor. We're just like any other church. We want to do three things. And it's very, very simple. We want to be just like you, just like all the other churches. We want to share the good news of Jesus. That's all we want to do. We want to share the good news of Jesus, because I believe the cross is still the answer to the needs of today. Oh, have you become like a normal Baptist church now? I can see you listening. I really can see you listening. Our heart is to share the good news of Jesus. And since we've been open in 3 weeks, we've seen 4 people give their lives to Christ. Every single one of them is under 20. They've given their lives to Christ. It's amazing to me because it's nothing to do with me. A girl stood in my office on Wednesday, Lauren. She's 25. She's just got married. She's part of the church with her husband, Smithy. I guess they're both Smithies now they're married. But she said to me, she said, in my car this week, I led a young girl, a 16-year-old Megan, to give her life to Christ. She prayed the prayer. On a Wednesday, in someone's car, in the Rhondda, Megan gave her life to Christ. Megan doesn't know who her father is. She's never seen her father. She lives with her mum. They have a difficult relationship together. Megan eats McDonald's every single day. That's what she eats. That's her food. She doesn't know what a vegetable is. That's all she eats. But she's given her life to Christ. You know, today, in our church, back in the Rhondda, Megan will be part of our welcome team. Megan will be part of our welcome team. And you know, for me, and she's part of our WhatsApp group now for the welcome team, that Megan is so excited on that WhatsApp. And I don't know WhatsApp, and I look at it, and I've got like 39 messages. And I'm in that old school where you think you've got to read every single message on the WhatsApp, not just read the one at the bottom and they all disappear. I'm in just the old school. I read every message that's sent to me. I spell check texts. Anyway, that's another story. The cross is still the answer. And we never, ever, in any of the work we do, we never want to diminish the position of the cross. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we're not cleansed and we're doing good godly works, they're good godly works, but the cross will change and transform people's lives. Number 2, we want to show love, care, and compassion to all. You know, the Rhondda was in a mess last night. Wales won. There are some Christians in the Rhondda that pray that Wales lose. Do you know why? Because when Wales win, the cases of domestic violence in the Rhondda are at their peak. They're at their peak. Now, this isn't me. I met with Chris Bryant, the MP of the Rhondda, Labour MP, and he shared with me, he said the statistics when Wales win are higher in regards to domestic violence than at any other point in that year. When I came back from Somerset last night about 10:30, my dad was 80 yesterday, and he's awesome. My dad, he's a great role model to me. But I came back and we drove through the Rhondda. And you know, my heart was heavy. Because I knew as we drove through, I'm glad we got tissues. I knew as we drove through that there were women that were being abused. There were women that were being beaten. There were women that were being humiliated. For me, that's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. Talking to the MP now, so Chris, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? I don't know what to do, he says. So, well, let's have another conversation because something needs to change. It's great, all those people clapping in America when those women stand up and they say sexual abuse needs to stop in Hollywood. I believe it needs to stop across the world. And I believe that women need to be built up, lifted up and encouraged and blessed and loved and cared for and all those things that sometimes don't happen. And in the Rhondda, so many of the young people that we meet don't have a father and have never met their father. I'm a prickly preacher, sorry, and some of you will feel emotion. It's all right to feel emotion in church. It's okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay to feel angry.
that you want to grab the guy that's doing it.
Well, the first thing is make sure you don't do it yourself. Because some of you can look really great in church, but when you go home, it's got to stop. If it has started. Amen? Come on, number three. To help and build and develop a modern expression of church in the Rhondda. Our church isn't accepted as a church by many, many people. We meet in the local college, a church in Manchester who I hadn't even known. You talk about God providing your needs. A church in Manchester said, we want to provide for you to go into that college. It's the best building in the Rhondda. We're going to provide for you to go in the college. I was watching Match of the Day. I sat there watching Match of the Day, and the guy got in touch with me and he said, how much will it cost you to go into Rhondda College for a year? 200-seater, fantastic facility. I said, it's going to cost about $10,400 watching Match of the Day. Within an hour, he'd contacted all his elders. He said, we'd like to put that into your bank account. A guy from Manchester wanted to help us in Wales, and that church is connected in with Message, and we love the work of Message and Message Wales and all that's happening with that, and we're trying to connect in with that as well, with the Hire Tour and different things. So that's a little bit about the Dream Centre. Ask me any questions or whatever you want to do, and I'll be happy to try and help you. But we've got a passion, a real passion, to work with the people of the Rhondda, to work with the other churches in the Rhondda. We're trying to connect in with as many of the other local churches as we can, because we don't want to say, hey, we're here now. We're awesome. We're the best church in the Rhondda. But you know, the real proper church Christian ministry is where you go alongside your friend who's in a church of five. You say, how can we help you? How can we help you? My wife, and she's amazing, my wife, she's much nicer than me. She's gone to one of the local churches. There's about 15 people in there, and she said, can I help you to run a toddler's group? Can we help you? Don't have John in a toddler's group because he's a nightmare. All I think of a toddler's group is give the kids a football and train them when they're young. We need some good Welsh footballers. Give them a football. A little acorns. There wasn't any footballs there, was there? Give them a football. I'm a nightmare in a toddler's group. I wind them all up and they're all sick then after they've had their biscuit or whatever. But I want to just, I can stand and talk about this, but I want to give you 10 minutes. Some of you to take away. Is that okay? I want you to take something away. Because I believe with all my heart that in this room are people that can change their environments, can change their families, can change their communities, and can change the city of Wales. Amen? And I had a prophet come to see me last year. And I'm nervous of prophets. He wanted to see me. I want to go and see John in the Rhondda. I was nervous of meeting him. I'm like, because prophets are always, forgive me if you've got a prophetic ministry, but they're always seeing things that other people don't see. And some of it's good and some of it's not good. And some people follow the prophet and some people go, oh man, the prophet prophesied this into my life. And, you know, I've sold my house and I now live in a shed or something. So I was nervous of the prophet coming to see me. And he sat in my office. It sounds really cool, my office, but it's really, really small. It's got a desk and a chair. I haven't got any books in it because I haven't got space, but I've got Wi-Fi, so I'm okay. But he sat in my office and he looked at me in the eyes in this sort of prophet type way. And he said, John, what do you see? What do you see? And I'm like, oh man. I see you, I said. Because you know, it's that program, isn't it? Say what you see. I can't remember what it was. You're probably too young for that. What was it called? It's not relevant, is it, that? What was the program? What was it? Catchphrase. Catchphrase. Brilliant. Thank you. Catchphrase. What do you see? I said, I see you. I knew that wasn't the right answer, but I thought it might break the ice, you know, a bit of banter and some chats and stuff. And, you know, I thought that we might relax a bit because it was tense. I got to say, it was tense. He said, come on, John, he said, what do you see in the Spirit? So I realized I got to up my game a bit now. What do you see in the Spirit? Well, I said, I see a place that's broken. Thought that's going to be a good place to start. No, he said, I don't want you to tell me what you see. I want you to go and look at what you see in the Spirit. And he shared with me that God said this to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11, God says to Jeremiah as a young man, what do you see? What do you see? And then he says it to him in Jeremiah 1:13 and also Jeremiah 24, verse 3. God says it to Jeremiah three times. When God says something three times, it's really, really important and it's really worth listening to. What do you see? And you know, some Christians are just random. They only ever see what everyone else sees. And I believe that we're living in a day and an age when Christians need to see what no one else sees. You see, what do you see when you look at yourself? What do you see when you look at yourself? Who am I? What am I called to do? God, why have you saved me? Why have you brought me to Cardiff to study? Why do I live in Cardiff? Why do I live outside Cardiff and come into Cardiff to church? God, what are you doing in my life? Because you see, most things start with you. They're catalyzed by you and your connection with God. At some point, Woody Baptist Church was catalyzed by someone that God spoke into the life of a man and a woman and a group of people. And they saw something here, not just then, but for the future. And I want to encourage you, what do you see when you look in the mirror? I want you to see in you what God sees in you. When you look at a cat, God sees a lion. In him and in his strength, you can do all things. I've come to tell you as well that I'm not a super Christian. I'm just a follower of Jesus. Before I met Jesus, I used to stutter and stammer. The worst thing I could ever be called to do is to stand up in front of people and talk. That'd be the worst thing I could ever. Now, I'd be a footballer, a pro footballer. Look at me. What do you think? Any good? I offended Marv. I thought he was 50. He's only 40. Sorry. He said he was in the veteran category for running. And I assumed veterans were 50. It's an easy mistake, isn't it? You come to a church. You haven't met anyone before. You've started to offend people already. But what do you see when you look in the mirror? I used to see someone with a stammer. I used to see someone that took drugs. I used to see someone that might not live into his old age. I used to see someone that didn't stay faithful in one relationship. I used to see someone that his parents didn't like. I used to see someone that would be a failure and would not be successful. Now I see a child of God that wants to follow Jesus, whatever that means and wherever that takes you. When God looks at you, what does he see? The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Some of you, even in this room, I can't believe it's true. I know in the Rhondda we have a lot of this, but in this room, you carry your past sins, your past fears, and your past failures. And for some of you, they become a badge of triumph or an excuse not to succeed in the plans and purposes of God. I want to encourage you this morning, however you feel, whether you're tired, whether you've just about got up and got into church, and when you eat at 12 o'clock, that'll be your breakfast. It doesn't matter. But what you're dragging in, God wants you to leave it here, and he wants you to go out free. He wants you to go out free. Even if you're an elder or a deacon or a worship leader, I don't care, because I know what it is to be broken. I know what it is to be lost. But I also know what it is to carry past pain with you as you journey on in your life. When I was in school, I shot a boy with a gun. Wasn't a good thing, and I'm not proud of it. But for many, many years, I carried that with me in Birmingham. It happened in a school in Birmingham when I was 16. Obviously, I didn't stay in school after that, but a lot of things happened. I carry a lot of guilt. I've not treated people well in my life. My dad, I stole £3,000 off him. Over the years, my gambling and different addictions, I punched my dad in the face and I knocked out one of his teeth. I wasn't a nice person. And if you'd have seen that on my CV, you probably would have sent Chris to the Rhondda and one of your great elders would have preached this morning. I carry a lot of rubbish and a lot of mess. But you know, in Christ, we're free. Because the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin, but also covers our sin and casts it as far as the east is from the west and to the very depths of the oceans. We can preach it, and I can preach it till I run out of breath. But if you don't believe it, what's the point? Let it go and give it to him. What do you see when you look at yourself? I see an anointed child of God that can change your family, your community, and your world. I met a couple called Clyde and Jan. And if Clyde and Jan walked in here, you wouldn't even turn your head. Clyde and Jan aren't. They're not a name. I won't give you their second name. But they're not a name. They're not a name that you would know. But they smuggle Bibles into China. They take suitcases of Bibles. And you can guess the organization that they work for. They take suitcases into China. That still happens. You haven't got to read God Smuggler from the 1970s with the Beatle on. That happens in 2018. Still today, Christians are taking Bibles into China. Clyde and Jan and people like them are stepping up and stepping out in their faith, believing that he who promised is faithful, and he who called them will not abandon them. Amen. And you good people at Woodville Road have been called by God. But the key is that you believe that God has got a plan and a purpose for your life. The second thing is, what do you see when you look at your community? What do you see when you look around? Do you know, I got out of my car. I hope my car's safe. I have a lovely red Ferrari. Hope my car is safe. I parked it just over there. I don't. That's a joke. I have a Renault, and it's white. I hope it's white. And I parked it just over there. I got out of my car at 10 o'clock this morning and walked over to your church. And a guy was in a onesie, and he'd been out all night, and he was walking around the corner. And I wanted to talk to him. And then a girl came running up and said, "Hey, blood!" I don't know what that means, really. "Hey, blood! Do you know what blood means?" It's like brother or friend or some, it's like a street term. I'm learning some of these street terms. I might say it in the Rhondda when I go up, back up. Hey, Blurge! And I thought she was talking to me as a Christian about Jesus or something. But it was the guy in the onesie. She come running over and she said, give me a number, give me a number. And I thought, oh, I haven't got my phone. And I realized she still wasn't talking to me. She was talking to Blurge, whoever Blurge was. And he got his phone out, and I knew he might be a little dodgy because he didn't have a smartphone. And I've learned something. Someone told me about this. You have a smartphone for your personal use, but you have the little phone for your business use, drug dealing, I think it might be. Anyway, so Blurge got out his phone, and he gave her the number, and then she went away. What are the needs in your community? Wouldn't it have been fantastic if there had been people from this church who had come to church at 10 o'clock and just stood outside with some cups of tea. I'm not telling you what to do. I don't care what you do. Some cups of tea. And some. When I was in America within the Dream Center, they were in a park called Echo Park. And I walked around this park giving out hot dogs and glasses of drinks of water. I was walking around it. There's two gangs in LA called the Bloods and the Cribs. Have you heard of them? Well, I did some, I'm pretty cool, really, actually. I did some work in Wattstown and Compton. Does that make me cool? I'm pretty hard, actually. You didn't know that, did you, when I walked in? I'm pretty hard. I might get a tattoo. Well, I think it's the Cribs have a tattoo on their neck there. And one wears blue and one wears red. And I was walking around with a blue t-shirt in Echo Park in Los Angeles. And I was just walking along and talking to some people. And I was starting to think I was quite cool, walking along like this. And a guy said to me, he said, you know, there was a gang fight here a couple of months ago. And they dumped 15 bodies in that lake. I didn't feel so cool then. In fact, they said to me, they said, and the one of the gangs, I think it's the Cribs, they wear blue t-shirts. He said, well, actually, you stand out. I said, stand out? I look different to a local person in LA. And he said, yeah, you stand out a bit. He said, then there are people all around the park that could shoot you. Well, I tell you what, my arms went up to the Lord in praise. My prayers intensified as I was walking around. But you know what? We still gave out the hot dogs. We still gave out the water. Still prayed with people, still loved and blessed on people. What do you see when you look at your community? If you're a student, adopt this community around the church. What do you see in your relationships? Oh no, it's one of those again. Who are you with? Who are you married to? Who are you in a relationship with? Who are you dating? Who do you want to date? Who are you? Oh, okay, yeah, you're together. That's good. That's good news. But what do you see? My job being married to Jackie is to try to make Jackie the best person she can be. That's my job as her husband. Not to get stuff off her. Not for her to allow me to do things. There are loads of things I'd want to do. I want to play golf. I like golf. I want to go and watch Villa play. Villa, they're third in the championship now. It's fantastic. Cardiff are fourth. It's brilliant. And my children are Cardiff City supporters. But in your relationships, it's not about what you can get, it's about what you can give. When you look at the other person, don't look at them and go, oh, they're looking a bit ropey. You know what? If your wife doesn't look the best that she can look, that's your fault. That's not her fault. That's your fault. You've been staying up too late. You've been staying out too late. You've been not treating her well. You've not been taking her out for meals or taking her away for a weekend. That's your fault. And as a child of God and a follower of Jesus, you've got to do your very, very best in your relationships. And if you're in a relationship, keep your eyes to yourself. Don't wander. And keep your fingers off your keypad and off the internet. 100%, I mean it. Because you'll destroy your marriage. You destroy her, you destroy yourself. Pornography is the biggest, biggest damager and breaker up of minds of young people today. And the young people that are on there are destroyed by it. 9, 10, 11-year-olds, the work of Sports and Marvels, they work with young people and children in the schools. And the biggest thing that comes back is young people and children on their smartphones on pornographic sites. You don't need a login, a password, a credit card. You just need two fingers to type, or even one finger to type certain addresses in. What do you see when you look at your relationships? I'm not happy. I want to be happier. Look through the eyes of Jesus. When Jesus looked at Mary Magdalene, the prostitute, he saw a potential woman of God who could grow and flourish and develop and mature. And finally, we're nearly there. Are you doing okay? Good. Thank you so much for having me. My mum always used to say to me, when you go somewhere, always say, thank you so much for having me. And then she'd say, and I hope I wasn't too much trouble. That's what she'd always say to me to say whenever I went somewhere. So whenever I preach somewhere and you don't really know me, thank you ever so much for having me. And I hope I wasn't too much trouble. When you see Jesus, what do you see? What do you see? We see the Savior of the world. We see a Jesus that died on the cross. We see a Jesus that gave up everything to come down to this earth. We see a Jesus that would want to walk with you and talk with you. We see a God that's in heaven, that's omniscient, that's omni-everything that you can ever think of. We see a Holy Spirit that wants to fill us. It's great, your spiritual gifts course, but why is there only 15 people doing it? What is that all about? Come on, Stu. Sort it out, mate. 15 people doing a Gifts of the Spirit course. There should be 150 people. Should be every single person on the Gifts of the Spirit course. I might even come. I want to know what my gifts are. Don't you want to know? And sometimes you, or perhaps I shouldn't say it, but sometimes you transition out of one gift. Have you ever experienced that? And you start moving into a new gift and you're a bit confused. Anyway. What's all that about? A Holy Spirit that can fill you and enable you and equip you to do things that you never dreamed, believed, or imagined that you could ever do. Not in your strength, but in His strength. You see a couple of cheeky scriptures here. Matthew 17, verse 20. What do you see when you see the mountain? Come on. What do you see when you see the mountain? I don't need to read the passage to you. You know it. When Jesus said, you see the mountain, you can say to that mountain to be removed. But if you see a mountain with fear, if you see a mountain with failure, you'll always see a mountain. And Jesus wants that mountain to be removed. In Cardiff, we want to see the mountains removed, don't we? We want to see the strongholds broken down. We want to see the strength and the power and authority of Satan that he's got on this city and the people of the city, the people of the university, the people in your families. We want to see those strongholds broken down, don't we, in the name of Jesus. And when we look at the mountain, we look at it with fear. The first night I slept in the Rhondda, we bought a broken down house last February and I slept in it. I was like a homeless guy. It was fantastic. I've experienced loads of new things. The first night I was in the Rhondda, I stayed awake praying, but also quite fearful. And I was awake and I was praying. I felt that God said to me, John, there are no giants here. There are no giants here. And I said it to some of the guys that are new in the Rhondda. The Lord's given me a word. There are no giants here. And they just went, huh? And you've got to understand that prophetically, that in your life, when you look at a giant, when you look at a mountain, and you apply faith to that giant and that mountain, in Jesus' name, it can be removed. Some of you will have to go through the fire. Some of you will have to go through the pain. And I tell you what, we go through the pain of separation from our previous church. The friends that we had in Caldecott, there were 15,000 people that lived in Caldecott, and we loved that town. And we believed that that town was going to be saved. And we still believe that that town will be saved. But God's taken us out of there. And he's asked us to look at the mountain. The mountain of the Rhondda, where 99% of that community doesn't know Jesus. It can change. It can change. But it's so important that we don't apply fear to what we see. And when I look at you, I think you're amazing. I really do. You haven't come to church to be put down or run down or ridiculed or told that you're useless or rubbish. And I know that that wouldn't happen here. But some of you are full of fear. Some of you have had a parent that have said to you, you can't. I'm not your parent. But I want to tell you. Ooh, I want to tell you that you can. The thing that you're believing for, that you've been praying about for years and years and years, I want to tell you that that can happen. And as you get older, and some of you are older than me and some of you are younger than me, you get to a point in your life where you say, that's never going to happen. It's never going to change. God's never going to use me in that. God's never going to take me to that place. Well, I want to tell you this morning that it can. That we don't live in a church and an age, and I don't follow a Jesus where things can't happen. But as we apply faith to the mountain, as we apply faith to the giants, I want to tell you that it can change. I want to tell you that if you've got an addiction this morning, if you've got a dirty, stinking, smelly addiction that you don't want anyone to know about, I tell you that that can go. That can change. And if you've been into places and you've got into bed with people, I've got into places and in bed with people that I should never have done. But you know what? It goes. It goes as you give it to Jesus. Sometimes it goes like that. And sometimes it goes like that. Doesn't it? I'm going to shut up. Got nothing else to say. Sorry. Hope I wasn't too much trouble. But I want to give you an opportunity. Every time I come to church, I give my life to Christ. I'm not a great altar call person. Put your hand up, pray a prayer, come out the front, kneel before the minister. I don't like that. I'm just as bad as you are. I'm just as screwed up as you lot are. You're 100%. You want to live with me. You want to ask my four children. He's mad. But I believe that we do need to do business with God. Or else what's the point? You ticked your holy box. God gives you the thumb up. You get everything you need. Don't work like that. So I don't know what happens, whether the main man comes and plays some like special spiritual music at this point, or whether it's quiet. But I want to just give a few moments. Just if you're not a Christian, give your life to Christ today. In the Rhondda, we're getting people give their lives to Christ. They don't even know who Christ is. They have no idea. And I say to them, Just give your life to him. And he'll sort out the rest. Because he knows and he understands. And we get people that get saved every week. The same people. Because it takes a while sometimes. But if you're into stuff as well and your Christian life has got a bit stale, 100% that happens, doesn't it? Well, ask him to anoint your Christian life again. Do new things in your life. And he'll do it. So just have a couple of minutes quiet. And then I'll pray. And I'll hand back to Stu and we'll go and have a cup of tea and a donut. But just do business with God, just in this moment. Don't wait till later, because what happens is you watch the rugby, you watch the football, you lose this moment. And this moment could be life-changing for your future. So just give him this moment. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful, beautiful moment. This beautiful moment when we just with you. Nothing else is happening, nothing on Facebook or Twitter, or nobody's talking to us, just you. And Lord, I thank you for these beautiful people. Every single one of them, from the youngest through to the oldest, the kids' church and all of that. Thank you for these beautiful people that you love, you created, you died for. You want to know them more and more and more. And I just pray, Lord, that whatever they said in their hearts to you in this moment, I pray that it will be sealed. In other words, we pray that it will happen. We pray that if someone's dealing with a mountain and they're just in a place where they're just not sure, they're confused, they're struggling, they're making choices and they're not quite sure why they're making them, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that those mountains and those giants will be removed and cast away into the sea. And that, Lord, that you'll replace that with your beautiful Holy Spirit, powerful anointing presence of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, for anybody here that's struggling with any sort of sickness, whether it's in their mind or whether it's in their physical body. Lord, I pray that you will bring healing in the name of Jesus to those areas that we need healing in. That we'll believe with that mustard seed faith that you're a God that still heals. You're a God that still changes and transforms. You're the God of the miracles of yesterday, but you're the God of the miracles of today. We thank you, Father God, for your awesome presence in this place. We pray, Lord, for this week. We pray that this will be a strong week as we follow you. We pray that our lives will be dedicated and devoted to you, to be your followers, to be your children, and to be your ambassadors in this world in which you've called us. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.